And now, it's Media One Radio Group's local public affairs radio program, Community Spotlight. We're asking the questions you want the answers to.
Good morning again, everyone, and welcome to Community Spotlight on the 6th Media One Radio Group stations. I'm Terry Frank. Looking back on the state legislative session and what may be upcoming with a special one, and pushing to help small local pharmacies in the region. All that this week with New York State Senator George Borrello of Sunset Bay. And George, welcome back to the program. It's great to have you.
Terry, it's great to be back on. Thank you.
I wanted to first go to the just concluded state legislative session about 3 weeks ago, which was made difficult early on due to the COVID-19 pandemic. We've had a few weeks go by since the end of the session. It seems like there was more discuss about what didn't take place as opposed to what was accomplished. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, I would say so, Terry. And what was accomplished, unfortunately, was largely not good for the people of New York State and particularly for our region. We're seeing tremendous dysfunction in Albany. We have a governor that is embroiled in controversy, who has been clinging to his executive powers, and a state legislature that is run New York City-based Democrats that, number one, have allowed him to run this state unilaterally, and number two, in this budget process, you can see how weakened he has been because they were able to push through some of the most radical legislation we've ever seen in New York State, pro-criminal legislation, and also a back-breaking tax increase. So all that said, there were certainly some positives, but largely the dysfunction in Albany is very apparent, and it is not good for the people of New York State.
Is there the possibility of a special session, and what would take place during that?
Well, you mentioned things that did not get done, and one of the things that did not get done was, and the Democrats have been criticized for this, was not appointing anyone to the Office of Cannabis Management. The Democrats have said for a long time that they have been pushing for the legalization of recreational marijuana, which did happen by law, but unfortunately it was a horribly drafted piece of legislation. And in order to get the process started for the legal sale of recreational marijuana in New York State, it required the appointment of the Office of Cannabis Management. There's a board of directors, there's an advisory board, there are all kinds of appointments that need to be made, and none of those occurred before we left Albany. So I think that may be the primary driver, because they have, they have received significant criticism from the pro-marijuana group that want to see this moving forward. And, it's going to be a probably close to 2-year process to get the legal sale of marijuana up and going.
Right.
And the delay being caused by this, the lack of appointments, is going to delay it even further. So while I'm certainly continue to be opposed to it because of the horrific way this will impact New York State, and again, not because strictly because of marijuana being legalized, but the manner in which it was legalized by statute, which instead of taking a responsible action, learning from the 15 other states that had done this before us and drafting a responsible law, the goal was to prove New York State was the most progressive, which is really the most radical, and that is the law that we have now that, in my opinion, is going to make not only is it not going to achieve the revenue projections, it's also going to make New York State a more dangerous place, especially on our roadways.
I know that you were happy to see the Nourish New York program approved to become permanent. What is the status of that bill? Last we knew, the governor had not signed it.
Yeah, and that is still the case as of today. I'm very proud of the Nourish New York push. The governor did initially create this program, and it was a great program during the pandemic, which benefited our farmers greatly, and of course the people that suffered with food insecurity across New York State, by providing funding to food banks all over New York State so that they could purchase surplus farm goods from our farmers. Great program. But then the governor cut off the funding for it. So I worked with my colleagues on both sides of the aisle. I worked very closely with Assemblywoman Catalina Cruz, who is from Queens, down in New York City, whose area was basically ground zero for the pandemic. And she saw and was so actively involved in the food insecurity issues in her community. So we found that common ground between a rural upstate Republican and a New York City Democrat, that how this program had benefited so many people and worked hard. And I'm proud to say that legislation passed unanimously in the Senate and the Assembly, thanks to her efforts, mine, and others as well. So this is a truly great bipartisan effort, and now the governor has not signed this bill. We are putting pressure on him by basically going out and publicly saying it needs to be signed, and the governor wanted to more control over the process. But the whole point of this is we want it to be a permanent, recurring program. That way, the food banks can budget for it, and our farmers can plan for it when they are looking at what crops they're going to plant. You know, the governor wants to basically be able to have it at his whim, and that's not good from a standpoint of truly having it be the most effective and benefiting the most people. So we need to take the politics out of it, the unilateral nature of it, and make it a permanent recurring program, which is what the legislation that we passed has done. Again, I'm very proud of it, and we will continue to shine light on this, and hopefully the governor will find it sooner than later.
It would sure be nice to see more of that in Albany, that's for sure. George, I wanted to go to this pharmacy situation because we have seen an impact locally. I know that you have been working with Patients Pharmacy in Jamestown, and I know Lakewood Apothecary recently decided to get out of the business of filling prescriptions. What's going on here?
Well, it's a number of things. Quite frankly, it's a push to support big business, big corporations over small locally owned pharmacies, and there are a couple things significantly that are going on. We are passing legislation in Albany that benefits these pharmacy benefits companies more so than the patients that they're supposed to be serving. I'm all in favor of a free market, but the laws that we have passed in New York State, favor one over the other, and that's really what the ultimate issue is. In the process, we have seen our local pharmacies, places like Patients Pharmacy and Lakewood Apothecary, that are suffering from the forcing of people to switch to what the pharmacy benefits management companies want them to do. People have seen this. You've probably gotten letters in the mail. I just got one saying, look, if you switch away from your local pharmacy to a mail order pharmacy, you're only going to have to pay a copay once every 90 days instead of once every 30 days, things like that. At the same time, we also have a big push by our governor to award contracts, in many cases, to out-of-state companies for the delivery of pharmaceutical and other medical products to state-run agencies. This is what has happened with Patients Pharmacy. The Office of People with Developmental Disabilities, OPWDD, awarded a contract to an Ohio-based company that would not work with local contractors like Patients Pharmacy, which had a good track record, a strong track record of supplying things quickly and reliably and consistently and safely to the many group homes that are reliant on the quick and reliable service of pharmaceuticals and other products. And that has been taken away for, in my opinion, political reasons. People that are donating to the governor's campaign, and we are literally using New York State taxpayer dollars to be sent to companies out of state to provide products unfortunately not as well as they were being provided when they were being provided by places like Patients Pharmacy. So how do you look at that as anything but political? This is happening a lot, not just in that area. We're seeing more and more New York State taxpayer dollars being sent out of state, which is why I introduced legislation, which did pass the committee, to give preference to in-state suppliers. And at the very least, this is an admission by our governor and his administration that it's very expensive to do business in New York State. So what we are doing is we are trying to save the state money, quote-unquote, by sending it out of state. How about we reduce the cost of doing business in New York State instead, and then make it more practical and affordable? And that's what essentially this bill will do. Until we can come to a day when New York State is less hostile place to do business, then we should be giving preference to in-state suppliers.
George, it seems like a logical matter, and I'm sure Patients Pharmacy, Lakewood Apothecary are not the only ones in New York State dealing with this. Has there been any traction that you have seen in trying to get this measure going forward so it could be approved?
In fact, yes. I am on. I'm the ranking member of the Contracts and Procurement Committee in the State Senate. The chairman of the committee has been very gracious in helping me. He sees the benefit in this as well. And again, he's a Democrat. I'm a Republican. His name is Senator Elijah Reichlin Melnick. Senator Reichlin Melnick and I have worked together on this. He did get it onto the agenda, and it did pass our committee. Now it needs to go, obviously, back to the system again next year. But I'm hopeful that we can get this passed. Again, you're seeing bipartisan support for this idea that we should be supporting our local businesses, especially when you start talking about using New York State taxpayer dollars.
You're listening to Community Spotlight here on the 6 Media One Radio Group stations. I'm Terry Frank, and New York State Senator George Borrello, representing the 57th District, which includes Chautauqua and Cattaraugus counties, is my guest. George, we've got a few minutes left, about 4 minutes left in the program. I wanted to talk about reapportionment for a moment, because that's a big item that's being discussed right now, the redrawing of district boundaries for local, state, and federal office, and New York State is losing one congressional seat. What concerns do you have about Chautauqua County in all this?
Well, I will say that I have the same concerns that have been shared asked by folks like our former member of Congress, Stan Lundeen, and also our current member of Congress, Tom Reed, that we would like to see this southern tier congressional district preserved, because it is a district that has a group of common interests across this district. And of course, when you start talking about our Senate and Assembly seats, my Senate seat, same type of a thing. We want to ensure that whoever represents us is someone who is most concerned about the things that are important to us in our region. And that's why it's important that we preserve as best as we can most of what we have now. Now, we all know that every district, whether it's congressional or it's a Senate or Assembly, those, because of the population loss, those seats are all going to grow. We're losing a congressional seat, which means they're going to grow. And we have a process right now that on paper is going to be fair. In 2014, the voters in New York State voted a constitutional amendment to create an independent redistricting commission. And right now, with one party rule in Albany, there's been legislation introduced to dismantle that. And this has been opposed by good government groups, including the League of Women Voters, who sent a scathing letter to the Democratic leadership in Albany about the idea of essentially negating the independent redistricting commission. So people need to be vocal about this, because it's very important. Chautauqua County was once lumped in with Erie County and Buffalo, and I just don't see that as being a good way for us to be represented. We want someone who understands the rural nature of our district, the fact that we have that agriculture is our number one industry, that we have small cities and towns that have issues with rural poverty, with rural broadband, all these things that should be the focus of our representative. That changes when they also have to address issues like the things that are going on in urban areas like Buffalo. So I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, liberal, or conservative, you should hopefully want to have a fair representation. And most importantly, we want to have an honest discussion and an open discussion on redistricting. And with the current process being jeopardized, being threatened, to go back to the old-fashioned behind-closed-doors, three-men-in-a-room gerrymandering process is something that should concern everyone, not only just here in this area, but everyone in New York State.
I know I saw one drawing recently, a redistricting map that did include Chautauqua County in the southern tier district. So there's something out there, at least. Let's keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, and we'll see that soon. Sometime in August, we should see the maps from the Independent Redistricting Commission. And we are hopeful that that will be what is guiding the final process, and it doesn't become politicized.
All right. New York State Senator George Borrello, we appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, Terry.
That's been Community Spotlight for this week. I'm Terry Frank. Thank you very much for listening. We'll talk with you again next week at this same time.